Let us turn our Bibles to the Philippians. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. And we will look at verse 7. Last Lord's Day, by His grace, I have come and preached to you, particularly on Philippians 4:6. Today I would continue with verse 7, where we read, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The world is weary of peace. It's looking for peace. Though there are utterances of peace here and there, even though they cry, "We shall make peace," even though they shout, "There is peace," truly, as the Bible says, there is no peace. Well, the Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. As the world increases in sin of every kind, restlessness, trouble and turmoil also increase. Just consider the political turmoil in countries around us, such as in Thailand, in Myanmar, in Sri Lanka. In America, the country is bearing the burden of a protracted war. Their army's long campaign in Iraq and in Afghanistan is making people long for peace. Well, the melamine contamination of the milk powder has driven us all almost crazy, especially the parents. They used to walk into a shopping center and pick up any biscuits that they like for the child. But then now they have to spend minutes and minutes reading through all the ingredients and check where this is produced. And I have heard one lady asking another lady who sits at the counter, "Do you know whether this is a product from China?" She said, "It's written on it. Do you check?" "Yeah, it's not from China. It's from Malaysia. But do you know where the milk powder comes from?" And I was wondering, what can this lady know who is at the counter? She's just taking the money and giving back the balance. That's all. But the trouble, the restlessness, the misery that people are feeling is true. It's real. Now we have the financial crisis all around the world. And they say this is one of the worst in the last century. It's making people anxious and even depressed. Now, whether all these situations will be fixed or not, in everyday life, man is tossed on the waves of troubles caused by guilt and consequences of his own sins. And then there are cares of this life. To the Christian soul, the Word of God gives the promise of God's peace. He also lives in this world. He is also affected by the terrible events of this world. Nonetheless, the Christian soul can rejoice because God gives His promise. Take note, what we read in Philippians 4:7 is not a wish or a prayer. "May the peace of God be with you." Yes, that prayer is good and fine. It's biblical. Nonetheless, what we read in this verse is not just a prayer, but a promise. It is an exceeding great and precious promise from God to all the trusting souls, to you and me. What is peace then? Let's answer this question. What is peace? Here, if you recall what we studied last week, is not an absence of troubles and needs in life. because we were told, be careful for nothing. In other words, there will be many things that will bring our heart into turmoil. Many things such as the cares of this life would make us careful. In other words, full of cares. The needs of life, the troubles and anxieties that are the results of changing circumstances. So the Bible is saying that you can have peace regardless of what's going on around you. People who are close to you may suddenly become your enemies. They may not care for you. People whom you have relied on suddenly become sick and weary, and they are now relying on you, and that makes you even more frustrated and troubled and anxious. You know, I can't really list out all the causes of troubles in this world. Now, the Lord is not saying here, I will give you peace by removing all these things. But He told us, in the midst of all these troublous, tumultuous circumstances, the peace of God will come to you. That's a promise. So you see, peace is not absence of trouble, but something we can experience in the midst of trouble. It is truly God's promise of inner calm and tranquility. It is the assurance that our souls can have in the one who never changes when everything changes. It is our confidence in Jesus Christ, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love is from all eternity past, even before the sun cast its first ray. Our Lord loved us. Even before anything was created on the earth, before the foundation of the world, God loved us in Christ Jesus. And that's sure, because we are saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He sent to fulfill His loving decision concerning you and me. And that gospel was brought to us by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. And we know His love is still toward us. And in us, Holy Spirit has shed abroad God's love. And that love remains unchanging, even everything and everyone around us changes. It is that deep assurance, that calmness, that is the product of our assurance of God's love, that I would like to say is called peace. It is God's presence, loving presence, that never changes in a Christian's life. The real challenge of Christian living is not to eliminate every uncomfortable circumstances in our life. Some may be the consequences of our sin, some may be the consequences of other sins. Some things can be natural calamities, which God Himself allowed. Now, these things are not within our power to change. What we can change, we must change. What we cannot, what can we do? Leave it to God to handle it. But we have to believe that God will take care of us, and He is with us. He never changes. If I have lived 40 years of my life, if there will be another 40 years, it is in God's hand. I shall never live by my own ability. God will be with me. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, we live in the same world that Jesus lived while He was on earth. The circumstances may be slightly different, but experiences of man is more or less the same. As far as the troubles of our heart is concerned, people then and now experience same kind of pain and sorrow. Jesus has borne all of those sorrows. And He says, I have overcome the world. I will give you the cheer that you need. But listen, I speak to you, and I speak that ye might have peace in me. Real peace comes from God. So let me now say, after telling you peace is not trouble, but peace is the assurance of the loving presence of God that never changes. The assurances that His promises remain the same. Then let's look at that phrase which says, God of peace. It tells us the source of peace is God. It's a declaration. Don't look for peace in the wrong places. You know, some people say, dig deep into your heart, you will find peace. No, it's not there. We can have no peace. That's what the Bible says. You may look for peace by starting a relationship. Then everything collapses. Then you can't even bear the next burden that comes with it. Some people hit the bottle thinking that wine and alcohol can give peace. They forget their sorrow for a while when they are intoxicated, but when they come back to their senses, they want to hit the bottle again because the troubles are not removed. There are those who try to immerse themselves in their work and studies to forget their problems. But that would not change the heart's experiences either. Well, dear friends, ask yourself, where is peace? And then look into the scripture to find the answer. Peace of God. Peace that is from God. It is God who will give us peace. And therefore we can confidently cast our cares upon Him. No one else can give peace, as I said. No one else can ensure peace. No one else can possess peace for all eternity but God. God is referred to 5 times in the Bible as God of peace. Romans 15:33, Romans 16:20, Philippians 4:9, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Hebrews 13:20. All bear witness, God is God of peace. God of peace. God is able to dispense peace because He is the possessor of peace and there is none. Because He is sovereign, because He is in control of all things, He is never unsettled by the changing circumstances. Nothing happened without His knowledge. Nothing escapes His power. He is supreme in power. So nothing troubles His heart. As God's children, if we know deep in our heart, our Father in heaven is in absolute control of all things, why should we fret? He is in control. As a child of God, He will never forget me. As a servant of God, He will never sideline me. I am His and He is mine. If His peace is His forever, then that peace is mine forever, because I am His child. God of peace. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Such was the blessing that Paul uttered to the Romans. The God of peace be with you all. Christians, it's for all of us. God is for us. Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can take the peace away from our heart? Tribulation? Nope. Shadow of death? Certainly not. I'm going to be with Him. God is mine and I'm His. Even in death, I am with Him and He is with me. And He takes me home. Nothing unsettles my peace. Peace originates with God, it remains with God, and it always flows out of Him. Now take note the means of this peace, which you see being mentioned at the end of this verse, through Jesus Christ. Peace cometh to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know Jesus himself said, "My peace I give unto you, not as this world giveth." Jesus' peace, he being God, he brought peace to this earth. The angel said at his birth, "Peace to all men." The Lord brings peace to us. But how can we have that peace? Look to Jesus Christ. In our sin, we are not at peace with the peace of God. Sin separates us from God. And when we are in sin, we are in deep trouble with God. And when we are not in relationship with God, when we are alienated from the peace of God, all that we do for our peace will not result in peace. Everything that you do being alienated from God will only result in chaos and much depression of your heart. But once you come seeking for the peace that you can never have on your own or anywhere in the world, to Jesus Christ who came to this world to bring peace to us, then you will have peace. The Bible clearly teaches us, Jesus has come to reconcile us with God. In his death, in the shedding of his blood, he brought out our redemption and reconciliation. There is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no more curse of God upon those who have trusted Jesus, who died to take away our sins. By removing our sins and its punishment through his death, Jesus has prepared a way for us to enter the presence of God of peace. So you see, everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is entering into a peaceful relationship with the God of peace. You and I who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely can have peace, and I must say, not just can have peace, we have peace. We have peace with God. That's what Paul said. Then you may wonder, why is that we don't have peace? Well, it's not that God has not given the peace to you, but we are not aware of it at times. And we are not conscious about it. We are not consciously believing and appropriating it in our life. We are, you know, allowing the things of this world and the problems to crowd into our heart and keep on looking at the thing that we shouldn't be looking at. That's why we were told in the previous verse, be careful for nothing. Don't think about these things. Think about how wonderful a God you have as your Father. How he will love you all the way to the end. Think of the blessings of being a child of God. Read the scriptures. If you can't recall them, read it. And it's in the scriptures. The scripture clearly says, great peace have they who love thy law. Great peace have they who love thy law. God is the peace giver. He is the source. Jesus Christ is the means. And we have both God and Christ in our hearts by faith. And therefore, dear friends, you shall never be devoid of peace if you would fix your heart upon it. Our hearts must be fixed upon God. And we can do that by reading the scriptures in troubles. Read all the promises of God. Think about it and try to apply it in your life. Isaiah 26 verse 3 reminds us, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. What a promise. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. If your hearts are not stayed upon God, but upon other things, then trouble will fill your heart. It may be the bad results of your children. It may be their misbehavior. It may be an unkind word that your spouse has uttered. It can be the friends who have not been contacting you for many, many months. It can be many other things that trouble you. Don't keep on thinking about it. But think upon God and His goodness, which are described so beautifully, so graphically, so wonderfully in the Scriptures. Oh, you know, this is why the Word of God is so wonderful. It's our peace. And it helps us to focus upon God. Why read chicken soup for souls? It's a chicken soup, they say. No, we have living waters from God. We have the bread of God in the Scriptures. That's what gives us peace. A filial trust in God, a childlike faith in God, is everything that we need in times of trouble. Not human assurances. No. Now, I mentioned something last week with regard to my own struggles at time to keep my heart in peace. I mentioned that in Gethsemane BP Church, we sometimes struggle with regard to the support of all the missions and missionaries and staff workers and people who are in the ministry. It's a huge sum every month. And sometimes it can unsettle me to the point that I don't even feel like preparing the sermon. I don't want to think about what I'm going to preach. It can be so heavy at times. And sometimes I feel like kicking myself and say, how stupid. I shouldn't be doing all this. Should be more careful and more prudent. Cut back everything. Tell all the missionaries, mind your own things. Don't disturb me. We are not interested. We are cutting a course and now we are tightening our belt. You know, survive for your own. I got to make sure there is food on my table. I got 3 kids, and now it's your business. I don't want to irritate anybody in the church, because some people may be saying, you know why it's so pressurizing? Because Pastor Koji is not very careful. He's just spending and spending. Well, there are a lot of things coming up. You know, it's not only the need of money, but also got to put up with people's comments, people's expectations, and your own turmoil of keeping your heart stable. It's terrible. Cannot rely on these things. Cannot let my mind think it's so intelligent and it must keep thinking to find a solution when it cannot find a solution. Peace of God does not come through a lot of worrying. You know, we often say, oh, God gave us an intelligent mind. I must think. Yes, I must think. But, you know, God doesn't want you to think about things that are not in your power. Be careful for nothing. It's not. He just wants you to trust Him. How good the Lord is to me. How good is God to all those who trust in Him. You know, you got to believe that God, who gave His Son for you, will give you all things. If he did not spare the gift of His Son, will He forget your needs? No, certainly not. The peace of God that comes through Jesus Christ is beautifully described in our verse as that which passeth all understanding. This is the nature of peace. It passeth all understanding because it comes firstly from God, who is infinite. Now, the infinite God's mind is unsearchable. Whatever God has revealed to us, we can understand. But you see, all the nuances of everyday life, all the details of the future are not revealed to us. Certain things He has revealed. But God is telling us today, don't worry about these things. He is in control of all things, and keep on trusting in Him and yield yourself to His will each time. And as you study God's word and yield yourself and do that which God wants you to do, then peace would come. Let's say if a mother wakes up early in the morning and finds nothing to cook for the children, she'll be very troubled, isn't it? And there is no breakfast. She worries. Children will wake up in half an hour. What am I going to feed them? Oh, that they are going to cry. They may faint. Now, that's a real situation. Singaporeans probably won't understand this because you hardly have such a situation. But there are countries where Christians worry for the next meal, which is just at hand. Immediate need. You may have a similar situation, maybe not exactly the same, with regard to your business or with regard to your work or something else. Urgency of it. Now, if the mother sit there and cry and weep and worry, what can she do? Neighbors are poor and the rich ones will not help. She can't find anything at all. Well, if she thinks too much, the devil will put some thought and say, you go and steal. Or kill somebody and take their money. No, a child of God cannot do it. Well, dear friends, I'm not exaggerating anything. I'm not talking to you something that never happened in this world. This has been experience of many a people. But I can tell you, I have heard real stories of such worrying situations. There was a preacher whom I knew in India, a very faithful man. He would go around preaching the gospel. One day he came back quite late in the night, like 11 o'clock. He went into the house. Children are all sleeping in the living room on the floor, not properly lying in their beds. And his wife is in the kitchen. She is sleeping in front of a pot of water that's boiling. And the man asked, "Dear, what are you doing here? All of you are sleeping like this and the fire is on, and what's going on?" She said, "Children cried until they slept. There's no food. I'm waiting for God to send some rice into this pot. The water is ready, waiting for the rice." The man came home without anything. What peace, you ask? Where is God of peace? How come He didn't provide? The preacher was so troubled. He went out. There was a little rock outside his house. He climbed that and sat on the top and cried to the Lord. His elder brother, who lived next door, happened to hear this man talking in the deadness of night. So wonder, what is my brother doing in the night? And somewhere on the top of that rock. What is he doing? Has he gone crazy? He's crying and talking and he's alone. And the elder brother came out of his house and listened and realized that family did not have food. He is asking God, "I went around preaching. Why is that my family like this?" Before he came down from the rock, right in front of the house was a big sack of rice and some cooked food. Then he came down, he asked his wife, "Who brought this?" He said, "Where? What? I didn't see anything." Later on, the man found out it's his brother, and I heard it from his own mouth while he preached. I don't mind to serve a God like this. The children fell asleep. The mother was sleeping in front of the burning stove. God was alive. Help was a prayer away. You know, sometimes what we need in the midst of trouble is not immediate provision, but just ability to sleep. Right? A lot of people have a lot of things but can't sleep, get nightmares. It all is just a prayer away. You know, you may say, Pastor Koshi, well, that was a good story that you said, but look at my trouble. And if you are going to stop me on my way out and tell me all your problems, I don't know how you're going to solve that problem. You know, a lot of people sometimes come to me for counseling. I tell them whatever I can, but then when I sometimes see them walking out through the door, I will sigh and say, oh God, help. I can't help. It passeth all understanding, and therefore I rejoice. Don't come to Pastor Koshi or Dr. Jeffrey Koo or any pastor thinking that they have a solution to all your problems. They don't have. They are human just like you are. We are frail just as you are. Probably we are worse than you. We have no extra intelligence to solve the problems of this world. There are intelligent men in government offices who cannot fix the problems. We cannot do anything either. But there is a God who promises the troubles that make you chaotic in your mind may remain, but come to me in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's why I said the peace of God is readily available, but sometimes we are not conscious about it. Sometimes we don't appropriate it simply because we don't pray. Now, you don't have to know how God will give you peace. What you need to know is this: your duty. Trust in God and go to Him in Jesus' name, and God will keep your heart in perfect peace. It is not understandable solutions that would bring peace. Now, if you ask me, Pastor, what is your take on the present financial crisis? How long will it last? I say, I have no take. I don't know. Maybe it will be solved tomorrow. Maybe it will take 10 years. I don't know. Can Obama fix it? Go and ask Obama. I don't know. I don't think he knows. If you listen to his speech, he looks very confident, but he says words so carefully, both to assure and also to eliminate any trouble that would come to him. Because if he gives an absolute promise without any warning and caution, he will be caught. If he can't fix the problem in the first year or the second year or third year, the next term he may not be voted in. So he's very careful. He's saying that I'm bringing in the best team that I ever come to know. This is the best team the world ever had. Nonetheless, this is not an easy path. This is choppy waters. Well, he is nothing but a man. How about our experienced government? Praise God for a wonderful government. But can they fix the problems of the world which is not under their control? Even though we have a healthy economy, it can all collapse with the collapse of other economies around us. We don't have all the natural resources to sustain our own financial growth. Now, please don't worry, it's not in your... You know, God did not plan that you must worry about these things. You know, you are like an ant worrying, how can I move this big rock? No, but don't be silly. God may just make you climb the whole rock and go over it, not by moving it. Why worry? He can give strength to your feeble legs. Why worry? He can give you grace to hang on to. It's not the way you think that God leads. He has His own eternal and infinite ways. You just have to trust Him. And He will never abandon you. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. You know, last week when I preached and went out, one sister stopped me and said, Pastor Koshi, can you explain what is peace that passeth all understanding? I said, I cannot explain because it is bigger than my own mind. It passeth my own mind. concepts and my own ability to describe it. It surpasses my mind. How can I tell you this? But dear friend, you and I are called to enjoy it. You're not going to have it because I managed to explain its extent. Oh, it is immeasurable. It cannot be defined even by the most eloquent man. I'm struggling now to explain this. I'm struggling for words. But this is certain, because God says, as a promise, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. What will He do? Now look at the effect of this peace. Guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The word guard is a military term. Do you know, to all those who trust in Jesus Christ and God in all circumstances, the Lord says the peace of God will stand guard your hearts and minds. Hearts refers to the deep affections of our heart. Minds refers to the thinking aspect of our soul. Now, whether it's your deep feelings that are affected or whether it's your mind that is affected, do not worry. If you pray, the peace will guard it. You know, a restless person is a dangerous person. A troubled mind can think of dying all the time. I had people coming into my office saying, "Pastor Koshi, I'm ready to die. I got everything ready." You know, about 7 years ago, I was ministering to a person who is a drunkard. And he came to church, he stopped drinking. And we were very happy. We praised the Lord. He brought his wife and his daughter. We were so happy. He stopped drinking for about 5-6 months. And he's quite active. He comes to my house asking questions about the passages that he read. I was so delighted. One day, the family got into some trouble. He hit the bottle and he called me and said, "I'm going to jump down. If you don't come now in half an hour, I will jump down." I got so scared. I took the van and drove down from Tampines through PIE like a crazy man. I was scared because he said, "If you don't come, I will jump down." I should have told him, "Go ahead if you want." But I was so crazy, I sped through the highway. Police caught me. And I was fined $200. I'm not sure, around that. And I got demerit points. Then I told the police, "Sir, I'm sorry, I was a bit reckless in my driving. I admit because of this situation." He said, "What's the proof?" "Sorry, that's not us. I can't let you go. You have to pay the fine." I said, "Okay, I will do it." When I went there, he laughed at me and said, "I just wanted to see you." Because he's under alcohol. He's not talking sense. And I said, "If anybody call me and threaten me like that, I will say, you better pray. I can't help. It's not in my power." You know, that's why people do crazy things when they are restless. Some kill themselves. Some take the gun and shoot everybody in the family and the neighbors, and then finally pull the trigger on himself. A troubled mind is a crazy mind. It's a dangerous mind. But thank God, He can renew and transform our minds. He ruleth our hearts. Peace that passeth all understanding shall guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not through pastors, not through preachers, not through elders. If you have come to me or any pastor for counseling, and then you sit down and say, "He also cannot help because my troubles have not changed," I asked that elder to pray and even gave him $100, but my troubles are still there. So no use. Yes, you are right in saying it, but you are wrong not in not looking to Christ and the God of peace. You must stop thinking about your troubles and start thinking how much God loves you. And how much He wants to take care of you. And believe this: the Lord who has led me to this point will see me through to the end. And slowly, a peace that has been the experience of so many Christians who taught us to sing, sweet peace, the gift of God's love, will slowly fill your mind. Dear friends, we know there is God, and He is the God of peace. We know He gave Jesus Christ that we may be at peace with Him, that all our troubles may not take away that which God has promised, but that may become our share, our inheritance. So look to God this morning, whatever be your troubles are. The peace that passeth all understanding will guard your heart. To the point, somebody will come and ask, "Now, can you tell me, you have all these problems, how is that you can still manage, you still smile, you still come around and do all these things? How?" God knows. God knows. I dare not tell all my experiences because it may make some think that probably I'm trying to gain something out of this message. So I would rather keep to myself. But nonetheless, there is plenty of evidence in your life and the life of the people around you who have gone through many painful experiences and yet remain calm because they have committed everything into God's hand. All that I would like to plead with you today is to humble yourself. Do not think you have all the plans and your mind can devise solutions to your problems. But humble yourself, believe in the promise that God has given you today, and go on your knees and say, "God, come. Come to deliver me. Come to deliver my troubled soul and give it peace. You love me. I know it because you gave me the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read the word, may the peace that you promised in thy law be mine." Go about doing what the Lord wants you to do. If you are a mother, rise up in your trouble. Go about cooking food, if you have food, caring for your children. If you are the husband, even though there are troubles, even though your wife is troubling, just read the scriptures. Know that your duty is to love your wife and continue to do that. And ask God for grace. Soon peace will come. The wife may not be very happy to receive your loving gestures, but just keep praying and try. There may be difficult circumstances. Read the scriptures. Do what it says, because that is the wisdom of God who promised the peace. And when you abide with God and His word, trusting in Jesus Christ, you shall have that which you do not know how it would come, which is God's peace. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for thy precious word. Peace does not mean if we ask anything, we receive all that we ask. Peace means we can ask anything in obedience to thy will, and God will make sure that He would care for us and keep us to Himself and for His glory. We thank you, Lord. This is a glad and joyous sound. We want to sing in response to thy word, sweet peace, the gift of God's love. It is a wonderful gift from above. It's not to be found anywhere on this earth. It's not to be found within ourselves, but it is to be found at the presence of God, before God's throne. Teach us to lay aside everything that troubles us and to come to your presence in prayer, submitting our will to thine. May Jesus reign in our heart, the Prince of Peace, thus we may be calm and settled that God is my Father and He will see me through to the end. Grant us this peace, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.